where our Sunday school lesson is from, and I'm actually going to hop on the back of it so I don't have to lay such a broad foundation. You've got a good hour foundation of our message today in Sunday school. So we know John chapter 20, and if you'll turn in your Bibles there, and I just, while you're turning there, I'm going to make a few announcements. This coming up Thursday night, we do have revival starting here with Brother Israel Ochoa. Please come and be a part of that. I believe we're in for a good move of the Lord. I ask you, if you're part of the church, pray for the services. If you can, push back the plate. It doesn't hurt to push back the plate. We need God to move. We need revival in these last days. And Friday night after service, we're going to have a get-together here in the back here in the gymnasium. And we're going to have a get-together, and we're going to eat afterwards. So just keep that in mind. And those that can stay, you're welcome to. I know some cannot stay up but so late. So you're just welcome to stay and be a part if you want to. So that's this coming up Friday night. We are not having First Sunday dinner today. I am sorry. I never announced that. And I know I caused a little bit of confusion. I take that on my shoulders. I apologize for that. And that will not be this month with revival and everything. So we will not be having that today. But John chapter 20, let's just go there in our Bibles. And I know that we've already read over this morning. But let's just read over it again just for the sake of the message. And let's just read in verse 1. And we may skip a few verses of Scripture or we may not. We'll just see what happens. John 20 and verse 1, this is how it reads. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came forth to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple which came forth to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping, and she wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Notice that. And when they saw, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she said, had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is the same, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for am I not yet ascended to my Father? But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. I want to preach with the Lord's help just for a few moments this morning on the mystery of the missing body. The mystery of the missing body. If you would pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we would that you would help us today to preach your word. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God. We need you to touch us, Lord Father, as we endeavor to enter into the most holy of holies, the Word of God. And Lord, we're here today to preach about your beautiful resurrection. I would, Father, I don't know everybody in this room today, God, but you know every situation. You know every family. You know every individual. And Lord, not only do you know them, dear God, but you know what is taking place in their hearts. There may be some here today, God, with a heavy heart. There may be some here today, God, that have no hope. There may be some here today bound by addictions and lust. I don't know, Father. But, oh Lord, you that knowest the heart of man, you know all about it. And God, today I would that you'd help us. You would anoint us, God. You would move in a mighty way. In Jesus' holy name, we do love you. And we thank you, God, for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' holy and divine name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just have your way. The mystery of the missing body. We would understand here when we begin to talk about the resurrection story that we've already talked about this morning in Sunday school. We would understand that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I already had stated, is probably one of the greatest things coupled with the cross and His birth and the life that He lived. It is the greatest thing and event that has ever taken place in human history. If you deny it or you accept it today, it does not change the reality that Jesus caught it from the grave. You may say, I don't believe that, Brother Derek. It's not dependent on if you believe it or not. It happened. And it does not depend if you believe it or not. It did happen. You can ask even the heathens, and you can look even through history. The resurrection and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is like a diamond that sticks out on every timeline. Even when you look in secular history books, they cannot deny the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. He has so influenced this world. Even our calendar has something that says A.D. and B.C. They know that Jesus Christ was real. They know that His influence was undeniable. They know that a man that lived 2,000 years ago, think about this, 2,000 years ago, he never wrote a book. He never did a great pilgrimage. He never built a sculpture. He never resurrected a temple in this world. Yet the world has to recognize that Christianity is still the biggest and the greatest religion in this world. They still have to recognize the influence of this man by the name of Jesus. You say, well, Brother Derek, why do you think his influence is so great? A man that lived so long ago, why is his influence so great? I'll tell you why his influence is so great. His influence is so great because he's still alive today and he's still influencing people even as I speak. I can stand here today and tell you I have been influenced by the Lord Jesus Christ. I was once blind, now I see. I was once bound by addictions, now I am free. I was once bound by lust, but now I'm not. Why is that? Because there was a man named Jesus that not only lived 2,000 years ago, but he lived, he died, he got up from the grave, and here today I still know he's real. He's in my heart. He is real. He is authentic. He is not secondhand to this world. He's going to be the king of this world. He was there when they even. He was there in the very beginning when God created the world, that lamb that was slain from the very foundations of the earth. I'm telling you today, friend, Calvary and resurrection Sunday was not by accident. It was the most calculated event in the whole entire world. I think it's so beautiful of this today. Man could not accomplish this. God accomplished this. God put this together. God calculated this. And today we are recipients and we sit here in the presence of a thrice holy God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now today we're talking about the mystery of the missing body. We would understand that we knew what happened on Good Friday. We would know there that night, or we would understand that night in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers came and arrested Jesus. No doubt the disciples there, as they saw Jesus disappearing into the dark with them soldiers, the disciples began to think to themselves, there goes the very hope of my life. There goes the very one that we look to for answers. There goes the very one that brought us so much joy and gave us so much direction. And there they watched as Jesus Christ, He disappeared until the high priest judgment hall there. Then we know He would go to Pilate. Then He would go to Herod. Then He would come back to Pilate. And then eventually on that Good Friday, we would know that the disciples would witness that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He is hanging there, suspended between heaven and earth. There Jesus is, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the door, the light of the world, the bread for this world. He was the very shepherd. He was the good shepherd. He was the good Samaritan. He's hanging there. Life is bleeding from Him. He's laid there, seven cries that would come from the cross. And I just wonder today, my friend, what would it have been like to be the disciples as there they witnessed, my friend, they witnessed the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and different ones would hear about it. Now understand this today, my friend. We understand the story. We know that as Jesus there on the cross, as they took that spear and they poked it aside, we know that he was already dead. We know there was two men that came and they asked for the body of Jesus. One by the name of Joseph Arimathea, and you can say it the way you want to. His name was Joseph. And the other man by the name of Nicodemus. And I like to look at it this way. They were Jesus' two pallbearers. You had Joseph there and you had Nicodemus. As there they lowered. Can you just imagine, my friend, what a privilege it would have been to take the body of Jesus off Calvary? Can you imagine what it would have been like for Joseph and Nicodemus us to take that bloody, that beaten body that has been ripped to ribbons. Can you imagine what would have been like? What passion and love they would have had as maybe they took those new white linens and they begin to take that body to that tomb there. Can you imagine to be Nicodemus or Joseph as they took a napkin and begin to wipe the dried spit off the face of Jesus? Can you imagine what would have been like? And they begin to clean the wounds that was on that body. And they begin to look at that, and maybe with tears running down their face, they say to themselves, this was our Savior. This was the one we looked to. This was the very hope of the world. Can you imagine as they wipe that spit and blood off of His face? Can you imagine as they cleaned the body of Jesus and they wrapped it in them white linens there and they set it there inside of that tomb? And all of a sudden there, the Roman guards, they came and rolled that big stone in front of that tomb there, and they put a Roman seal on it that nobody could get in there, that nobody could get to the body of Jesus. I'd like to tell you today, my brother, that may have been a big enough stone to keep a man or a woman out of that tomb, but that stone was not big enough to keep God out of that tomb. And guess what? God was in the tomb. His name was Jesus. I thought, we're not God getting in there. God came out of him. His name was Jesus. And that's the beautiful part of the resurrection. One preacher said, maybe an angel came down and kicked the stone. I don't know how he did it. But I know this, God moved the stone, and all of a sudden we know this is the great story I want to come to you about. There in that tomb there rests the disciples and Mary Magdalene and Joseph and Nicodemus and all of the disciples that follow Jesus inside of that tomb, laid at that body of their Savior. Laid their future hopes and their future aspirations. My friend, but hear me today, my friend. As Mary Magdalene and some other women the next morning, as they went to that tomb to finish preparing the body of Jesus or whatever they were decided to do there, we know the story. They got there, and guess what was wrong? The stone is rolled away. And they don't know where the body of Jesus is. The mystery of the missing body. It's not there. And we know the story that Mary did not believe it. We talked about it this morning. At first, Mary could not believe this. We know that she thought somebody had stole the body. It was a mystery to her. I mean, it was almost like a murder case all over again. They're trying to locate, where is the body of Jesus? It was in the tomb just last night, I believe Mary thought. I saw them roll the stone in front of it. I saw them put the seal on it. And seal on it. All of a sudden, the seal's gone. The stone is gone and the body's gone. Where is the body of Jesus? Jesus. Can you imagine what she felt like as she ran to Peter and John and she tells them, look, my friends, the stone is gone and the body is gone. You know, somebody asked me before, why didn't Jesus just leave his body here on earth? I'll tell you why. They'd probably build a church on top of it. That's why. They'd do everything else. I mean, they would probably try to preserve it and all that. My Lord, every time a pope dies, they try to preserve it as long as they can. I said, my Lord, rest is just to go ahead and put him in the grave. Amen. But you know what the Lord would have tried to do with the body of Jesus? They would have made a relic out of it. They would have worshipped his clothes. They would have worshipped his body. But we understand this today, my friend. The body of Jesus was gone. Here it is, Mary Magdalene goes and tells the other disciples. And as she goes, tells them, they come. And we know the story. We talked about it this morning. See, we understand that John would go to the door of the cave. He would just look in there. We know Peter would run in there with his boldness. He would witness the clothes there. And then we know later on John would go in there. But I want to focus on this woman by the name of Mary just for a few more moments. Because I believe this woman by the name of Mary has a lot in common with us. We know that Mary Magdalene was a woman, when you study the Bible, she was a woman that really loved the Lord Jesus, didn't she? You remember Mary Magdalene was the one that maybe in one, we don't know exactly where it took place, but on some old dusty street somewhere, she knelt down and Jesus cast 7 devils out of her. She was healed of infirmities. She knew what it was at one time to actually be a habitation of devils and demons. At one time, she was not just oppressed by a devil, but she was actually possessed by a devil. How many knows that's still real today? Amen. Here it was. She knew what it was to have the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, to come into her life and to say, look, He cast them devils out, and to give her peace and joy. I'm telling you, you and I have a lot in common with Mary. How many remembers the day? You may not have been demons, even possess. But how many remembers the day that you met that old sandal-footed Nazarene? How many remembers the day that you knelt down? If it had been an altar, if it had been in the street or in your bedroom, how many remembers the day that you felt the peace come in your life? You felt forgiveness to come in your life. And there's things that had you bound. There's things that had you captivated. The Lord Jesus came into your life. He cast them out. He set you free. And there He deposited joy that you did not know was real. He gave you peace that passes all understanding. I'm telling you, we have a lot in common with this woman by the name of Mary. Mary was also one that, as you study and many believe, she was that one that helped wash Jesus' feet there and washed her feet with her tears. And we know she was a woman that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but you'll find in John chapter 11, you know, Mary's brother Lazarus, he's in that tomb dead. In the Sutton, she's at a tomb right here. But also in John chapter 11, she's at a tomb weeping. In John chapter 11, she's sitting there at the tomb of her brother Lazarus. There he is, I'm a friend. He's in there dead. And all of a sudden, we know that Jesus would come there. And we know the story, my friend, that as Jesus came, He tells us these very words. He says, I am the resurrection. If you believe, these things can happen. We know He was the one that called Lazarus out of the tomb. That took the grave clothes off her. He told the grave clothes to be taken off of Lazarus. So understand, this woman loved Jesus. She had been delivered. She had worshipped Him. He had even raised her very brother from the dead. I tell you what, my friends, there's nothing like being delivered like she was. There's nothing like worshiping like she did. But isn't it good to see God touch your family as well? Amen. God cares about all of us. As we look at this today, my friend, I want to look at this from this perspective. As she came there to the tomb of Jesus, as she came there, and all of a sudden we know she went and got the disciples, but as the disciples returned to her home, we know the story that she lingered there at the tomb of Jesus. And can you imagine what it was like, my friend, as she looked inside of that tomb, and there she's still heartbroken. She does not believe, that she still does not comprehend the Scriptures. She still does not understand that Jesus is alive. She still thinks somebody stole the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's looking in there, and she sees in there, and she sees. Also, she looks into that tomb, and she sees, what? Two angels. I'm going to point out three different levels of faith there. One looked in there and seen linen cloths. Another one looked and believed. We talked about it in Sunday school, a little difference on that. But she looked in there and saw angels. She lingered. She tarried there, my friend. And as she looked in there, she seen two angels. And it says the angel was sitting at the foot of the grave, at the foot of that bed there, and at the head of that bed there. And that's a picture of, my friend, of that new mercy seat of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you had two angels sitting there. And now in the New Testament, you got two angels sitting there. I'm telling you, my friend, there's a new mercy seat, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this, we do understand, and we put together as we read the story, there's a few things that is, you know, whenever there's a murder scene, there's evidence usually. Here we have, let's put together our evidence. An empty tomb, Jesus is not there. And then we have grave clothes. Isn't it amazing, we talked about this morning in Sunday school, how we draw a lot of conclusions just from a little bit of evidence. Come on, man. You remember the Old Testament? You know, they came to Jacob and they said, Joseph is dead. They didn't ever have a body. They just had an old bloody coat. Right? Jacob began to cry and say, he is dead. I was like, where's the body at? Bring me a piece of it or something. So here we're looking at the grave of Jesus and there's clothes there, but there is no body. We've got to find it. And I know where it is. We've got to find the body of Jesus, because this is important. As she looks in there, the angels say these words to her, why weepeth thou? They ask her why she is weeping. Now I want you to understand something unique about this word in the Bible. This word weeping here is not just a casual cry, but it's an actual wail. It's so much hurt here that she's actually bellowing out. She's crying. But I wish there was somewhere I could go there and I would say, it's alright, Mary. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm telling you, joy's coming in the morning. Hear me today, my friend. You may be here today with a heavy heart. You may be here today and not understand everything about church, but you want some life. You want something different. You want forgiveness and joy. I'm telling you, there's joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to title this The Greatest Sunrise, but spell it S-O-N-R-I-S-E. Because you know that Easter morning, the sun rose. But not just the sun, but the Son of Righteousness and the Son of God rose from the grave. As we look at this today, my friend, notice Mary's discovery, the two angels. We notice there the linen cloth there. But also notice this, the angels are sitting there. If she knew they were angels or not, we don't know. Many people argue different points, but I know this. It was not good enough. She wasn't looking for an angel, and she was not looking for two messengers. Where's Jesus? Sometimes, don't settle. I don't know about you, I ain't looking for an angel to come back for His church. I heard we were teaching earlier on Wednesday nights. I'm not worried about Gabriel's trumpet as much. I know Jesus is coming. It wasn't enough. It did not satisfy her. But notice this. Then all of a sudden, notice Mary's despair. She says this. As she turns around, and why? As she turns around there, we know that Jesus was standing there. And we know that she did not recognize Him. Notice the question of Jesus. Notice this. It's different from the angels here. He asked the question. He says, "Why weepest thou?" He's not here. It's different. Now let me show you a difference. Let me tell you why it's different. Because Jesus had a heart like she had at one time. Angels are angels, and they can only comprehend what you're going through, but so much. But I love, there was something different when Jesus here, He one time. He's different from the angels because Jesus once had a human heart. The angels looked at Mary there and saw tears, but they may not understand tears that much. But when Jesus saw tears, He understood them a whole lot because He wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wept there in the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus understands us. Notice this. This is what the most I find this so beautiful. Her response is this: supposing Him to be the gardener. She said, "Where did you take the body?" She wanted to go find the body of Jesus. But little did she know, she's sitting there at the body of Jesus. Now notice this. We talked about this some this morning in Sunday school. But this one word, we know that Jesus said to Mary. What did He say? Mary. And she said one word back to Him. You can call it Rabboni, Rabboni, however you like to say it. But pretty much saying, "Master." I want to show you something right here I found so amazing. I was studying this. Isn't it amazing that Jesus only had to say one word? Mary. I want to tell you in here this room today, God knows your name. The beautiful thing that I've ever experienced in my life, when I was an old wretched sinner, and even though I may not have heard it physically, I felt something whispering to my heart, "Derek." How many remembers when God called your name? Let me show you the beautiful part about this. Because when love's language is so pure, that's all you need to know. God didn't have to sit there and give me an explanation. All He's got to do is say Derek or Tom or Holly or Brother Glenn. All He's got to do is say your name. And the reason it means so much is because He created you. His name. Said Mary, and that's all it was to it. She said one thing back to Him, "Master." Let me tell you the best thing you can say. But you know, I'm glad she didn't try to get into a theological discussion with Him. "Jesus, you got to explain this to me. You know, I don't understand. How did you die? How'd you get up? What'd you do when you went into the caverns of the deep?" But isn't it beautiful? In that moment, the best worship is when your heart is so full of love. All it takes is one word. You know, sometimes we think worship can... We have to complicate it at times. But you ever been in a service where all you had to do is say just a few words to the Lord? And you felt that love like a river, just almost like the cisterns of heaven open up, and it flooded. You're weeping and you're crying, and you didn't have some theological debate. You didn't have to study 40 hours to get there. You just knew that He loved you. You found the body of Jesus. You knew that He was alive, and all you had to do was say, "Master," and it was real, and it was authentic, and it was a genuine worship. That is the best worship, my friend. You didn't have to try to find some hard theological answer to it. All you got to do is realize He's your Master, and He knows your name. We complicate people getting saved sometimes so much. People say, "Well, I'm not ready. I'm waiting till I know more." I'm telling you this, you ain't got to know more. All you got to do is know this. He's calling out your name. Do you understand the beauty of this? Mary. Derek, can you imagine what it would have been like in the Bible and the story of Hosea? And there's a song that's been written about it, but can you imagine what it'd have been like there at that slave market when they're purchasing off all those different prostitutes, different things? Can you imagine what it would have been like the day Gomer heard that old familiar words, "Gomer,
I'm here and I forgive you. That name, I'm telling you, my friend, it is amazing when we understand this, that He's alive and He knows your name. I won't be much longer. But I recently had been doing some study on the Vietnam War. You know, we got that new infant there, and sometimes that infant wakes up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So how do you knock an infant out? You watch a documentary on Vietnam. It knocks my wife out too. I just enjoy history. I enjoy learning. I enjoy understanding the history of our country. I just love it. I'm passionate about it. And God bless us. We're so privileged. But I was studying about the Vietnam War, and I read about a certain family. It just touched my heart when I was studying for this message, and this came together so well. There was a man by the name of Colonel Benjamin Purcell. Not Parnell, but Purcell. And this Colonel, one day, as I begin to study about his life a little bit, we understand that one day his wife gets a knock at the door. He was serving over there at Vietnam. A knock comes to the door, and all of a sudden there's a letter passed to his wife, and the letter says this. It says, "Your husband was a part of a certain mission, and we cannot find his body. So right now your husband is missing in action." And for 13 months, that wife said she was so depressed. She said every day she'd go to the mailbox. She finally even helped organize the POW, part of the helping organize certain MIA and POW. There she was. She was so distressed. She had, if I'm not mistaken, 3 to 4 different children. She said every day her daughter would run to the mailbox. She would look in there. She said, "All I really wanted to know is, where is his body?" She said, "Just to have the closure that his body was somewhere and we could have a proper funeral." 13 months later, she gets another phone call, gets a visit from somebody there in the military. And she got word, another envelope, and the envelope said this, a letter inside. It said, "We have gotten word, your husband has now switched from being a missing in action. Now he is confirmed to be a prisoner of war." She said that almost brought so much joy to her. Because guess what? She said, "They found the body and he's alive." She said, "I got so excited." She said, "Just to be able to tell my children, your daddy's alive. There's still hope here. There's still something that's going on. We still gonna have a chance to see him again." I want to tell you, the disciples were there that day. And Mary was there that day. They knew, and arguably back and forth, we know that they knew the body was missing. But we also know that some of us believe that they believed. But the wonderful story about this Vietnam story is this. She said all of a sudden, she said she knew he was a prisoner of war. She said she went from actually, she said one time she was so depressed because she didn't know where the body was. Now that she knew she was alive, she was depressed because she couldn't touch the body. She wanted to talk to him. She said, but all of a sudden at the end of the Vietnam War, when they finally got negotiations out, one day that plane landed on that strip there, and her husband was released. He was the first one off the plane because he was the highest decorated. He had to make a speech before he could ever go see his family. They had a podium out there, and he had to make a speech when he got there. In the middle of her speech, she just about tackled him. Because guess what? She found out where he was. I want to tell you today, my friend, the mystery of the missing body of Jesus is this. He's alive. You say, well, where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. But he sent the Holy Ghost here in his presence. He said, where's the body of Jesus? You look around. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us the church is the body of Christ. The presence that you feel this morning, he's here. I found him. Have you? I found him. Have you? But just like Mary looking at Jesus, I'm telling you, he's calling out your name this morning. Some of you, he may have been calling out your name for a long, long time. You said, "Brother Derek, what do I need to do?" Won't you fall down and call him Master? And understand he's alive and his presence is here. As my wife goes to the piano this morning, we understand the story here as it goes, that Jesus sent Mary unto his disciples. And there, as he goes unto the disciples, she brings this message. He is alive. As you stand to your feet this morning, he is alive. Thank you for listening just for a few more moments.